When God called me to preach, to be a pastor, there were some things I was really unprepared for, some things that I didn't know would come my way. And probably the biggest shock to me was how much, as a pastor, as a staff member, I was going to be around death. The previous 11 months before I came to Southern Seminary as a full-time staff member, as a pastor, those 11 months, I did 40 funerals. I was in the hospital at the sick bed at the funeral home an awful lot. As Christians, as ministers of the gospel, as pastors and staff members and missionaries, we really need to have a comprehensive worldview, especially when it comes to death. So this morning, I want to direct our thoughts to God's Word, invite you to turn with me to the book of Philippians as I try to answer this very simple question. What happens to us when we die? What happens to us when we die? The Apostle Paul helps us in Philippians chapter 1. You know the context of the book of Philippians. Paul is in prison, most likely in Rome. In the first few verses, especially beginning at verse 12, he tells us that his circumstances being in prison is really a great thing for the gospel, and that the gospel is being preached, it's being proclaimed, and that there's some out there who are encouraged by the fact that Paul's preaching the gospel even though he's in prison. Paul was going to face a trial before Caesar. And he didn't know the outcome. He most likely believed that he would live, but there was the possibility that Paul would die. And he was facing the possibility of his death. And in that light, he says these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in verse 21. He says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose, but I am hard-pressed from both directions. Having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake." Again, I want to ask the question and see if we can answer it this morning. What happens to us when we die? I want to respond in five ways. First, I think we need to go back to the beginning. In Genesis chapter 2, you will recall that in the garden, God said to Adam, "You can eat of the fruit of all of the trees, but the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, the knowledge of good and evil, you can't eat from that tree, because in the day that you eat of it, you're going to die." In chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, when the serpent is conversing with Eve, she says, you're really not going to die. Adam and Eve probably really didn't have a very clear concept of what death really was at that point. But death is the result of sin. They did indeed begin to die. They died spiritually in that moment. And as a result, sin entered into the world. If we had the time, we could look at Romans chapter 5, and particularly in verse 12. And if you read Romans 5, 12 through chapter 6, you're going to see how often the Apostle Paul says that death is the result of sin. So sin entered the world, and as a result of sin, death entered the world. We die because we are sinners. And death is the unnatural separation of the body and the soul. Originally, God didn't intend for death to be part of our existence, but as a consequence of sin, Death has entered in. So there is this separation of body and soul that takes place as a result of sin. What happens to us when we die? There's this separation of the body and the soul. Secondly, when we die, we are immediately with Christ if we are believers. I refer you back to chapter 1 and verse 23. Paul says, "But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ." Paul is very clear that if he were to die, which is really what he wanted to do, if he were to die, he would immediately be with Christ. There would be no delay. There would be no waiting period. He would be immediately with Christ. Now that's a great thought and a comforting thought. And as you and I think about our own deaths, as we deal with the deaths of our loved ones, as we minister to those who are facing death, for the believer, the great hope and assurance is that the moment we die, we are immediately with the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens when we die? Third, we wait in heaven with the Lord for His return. One day the Lord Jesus is going to bodily return, and we're going to be with Him in heaven if we die until He returns. And when He returns, we shall come back with Him. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, there will be a reuniting of our soul with a body, a new resurrected body. A body that will not grow old. A body that will not wear out. I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Paul talks about this in verses 50 and following of 1 Corinthians 15. When we die, we are separated from our earthly body. We go immediately into the presence of the Lord. We wait in heaven with the Lord until He returns. In verse 50 of 1 Corinthians 15, "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." When we die, we go immediately to be with the Lord. After the separation of our body and our spirit, our soul, we wait in heaven for His return with Him. After His return, there's going to be another event. There will be a judgment. Turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 6 through 10. "Therefore, being always of good courage, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So the believer will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive what we've done for him in this life. Now, I want to remind you of a couple of things. In John chapter 3, verse 18, our Lord teaches us that if we have come to him in faith and repentance, we'll not be judged. We're not going through a judgment of whether or not we're going to heaven or hell. That's been decided at the cross for us. And coming to Christ in faith and repentance, through the power of the Holy Spirit regenerating us, we have passed through that judgment. But we will stand before the Lord Jesus to give an account for what we have done in this life for him. For the non-believer, for those who don't know Christ, they too will immediately wake up in hell after they die. And one day there's going to be a judgment before God. Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 11. A great white throne judgment before God. But for the believer, we stand before Christ to receive the rewards for serving him in this life. Then when we die, there's one final thing that I want you to see. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. There's going to be a worship service. And I'm certain, Dr. Bolton, that there will be great singing there. Dr. Smith, there will be great instruments that are there. And we all shall be worshiping before the throne, before the Lamb of God. And if you look at verse 10, I think at that worship service, when we're all gathered together there, it says, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created." On that day, those of us who are believers will take the rewards that we have received from the Lord Jesus, and we will cast them at his feet, because he indeed is worthy. What happens to us when we die? Well, there's a separation of the body and the spirit, the soul. We go immediately to the presence of the Lord. We wait for the return of the Lord and the reuniting of a resurrected body with our spirit. We shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We shall cast our crowns at his feet. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, in the midst of death, Lord, we as Christians and as believers grieve, but we grieve with hope, the certainty of the resurrection from the dead, the sure knowledge that our Lord Jesus Christ is preparing a place for us. Father, we do continue to pray for those families that have been mentioned today that are grieving. We pray, Lord, that as ministers of the gospel, we too might faithfully minister your word. Encourage us, Father, for the day of our coronation is coming. The day when we meet you face to face. The day of our death will indeed be better than the day of our birth. Lord, encourage us, for we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.